Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. Who are the most creative people in Milwaukee? And how does that creativity affect the lives of the rest of us? Seems like a pretty straightforward couple of questions, but creativity means different things to different people. And when you get down to it, there is creativity to be found in some unexpected places. Milwaukee Magazine went in search of creative Milwaukee recently and found 20 people that best exemplify the city's creative spirit. The result is the cover story in the November issue. Claire Hannon edited the feature that profiles the 20 creative Milwaukeeans, and she's with us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, so let me ask a real fundamental question and maybe an overly broad one, but work with me here. What was the definition of creative you were working with? Creative could mean so many things.
That's a great question, because in this case, it wasn't what you would think of as creative. We wanted to open it up to people who were doing things, not necessarily strictly visual artists or people you would consider an artist. So we wanted it to be a much broader term, and it was just people who were taking whatever field they had and were doing something totally inventive and innovative.
Well, and so take us on a behind-the-scenes tour of how this came together. You know, there's some people that you'd think of, well, obviously these guys are creative. They're artists. This is what they do. Their job is being creative. But how did you brainstorm where you were going to turn to find people like a psychologist or a guy that does bicycle tricks?
Yeah. Actually, it started as an idea that I just threw out in a brainstorming meeting, and I put pretty much no thought into it. And Christina, our former editor, was like, yeah, let's do that. And so then I had to put some thought into it. But the final list came about through a bunch of staff meetings where we just sat there and I made these huge PowerPoints with tons of people in them. And we kind of just went through and talked about the merits of each. We also asked for submissions from our readers, and we got many. I was surprised by how many we got. And some of those reader-submitted creatives were actually made it into the book.
Well, and beyond that, this isn't just 20 creative Milwaukeeans. You make the case that they all, in their own way, enrich the fabric of Milwaukee.
They do. And there is a whole lot of talk about that going on in the city. And it seems like the last year has just been a whole lot of talk. And we wanted to really spotlight the people who are doing and who are walking the walk. So I think all 20 of these people definitely do that.
Well, and we should make a technical distinction here because lest anyone think that you are anointing these as the 20 most creative people in Milwaukee, the title is actually 20 of the most creative Milwaukeeans.
Yeah, that's on purpose. We didn't want to have a definitive list because hopefully there are way more than this.
Because I would feel overlooked.
I'm sorry, Mitch. Next year.
Well, and so we alluded to this, that there are obviously a lot of people in what we might think of as traditionally creative fields, the artists and writers and filmmakers. And we'll talk about some of those in just a minute. But let's talk about some of the people in these other fields, like, say, the epidemiologist that's profiled.
Yeah, Mallory O'Brien. She does a whole lot of work with crime statistics, and she kind of looks at how crime is related to certain other societal factors, family upbringing. But she gets down to, of course, the minutiae of your family upbringing, and she kind of finds these correlations and says, well, what if we worked on fixing this piece of minutiae? Would that lower the crime? And in some of the cases that she talked to Kurt about, that approach really worked.
This is editor Kurt Chandler who wrote this particular part.
Yes.
And as you might expect with somebody who crunches numbers, there's a way to quantify this. You can actually look and see that that crime statistics in particular areas dipped.
Yeah, definitely. She works closely with the police department, and from what we've heard, it really seems like they trust her methods and have employed a lot of them.
There is also a psychologist in this that
yes.
is profiled, and I will say I have heard about her work, though I have never seen it in person. But it's
yeah.
it is a pretty creative approach to psychology. This is someone who does not wait for the clients to come to her.
Nope. She brings it to them and I think tries to eradicate that fear factor and any sort of stigma of going to a psychologist and turning it into a social thing and an anonymous thing where you can get feedback and advice about whatever kind of problem you have.
She does these sessions called Shrink and Drinks.
Yeah.
And she her name, by the way, Julie Helmrich.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people fill out cards with their questions and she kind of takes it down in an amusing and non-threatening way
yep.
in a restaurant.
Yeah. And so you can kind of take your glass of wine and submit your question anonymously and she'll go through and pick a bunch of them and then start conversations about them and give her professional opinion. She's also a traditional psychologist and you can see her one-on-one if you'd like to. But we just thought this approach was something we hadn't seen before and is a totally innovative way to bring a service that people might really need but might be afraid to ask.
You yourself wrote two of the specific profiles for this piece. One is on Heather Hambrecht, who we might look at as one of those people who you might expect to be creative. She you label as the seamstress in hiding. Tell us about Heather.
Well, that was a little pun on animal hide, Mitch. But
nicely done.
Thank you. She uses leather from four different tanneries. One of them is local, and she creates these really interesting purses of all different sizes. She also makes these leather garments, which are nothing like anything I've ever seen. And her garments are all sizeless because she thinks the sizing system, the American sizing system, contributes to self-esteem problems. And the purses, which is what we have a beautiful picture of, are all very purposefully designed. And she can explain a use for every single little nook, cranny, and pocket in all these purses. So that the purse can, like, help you get through the day. And I've never, of all the fashion people I've talked to, I've never heard someone explaining what she does in the way that Heather does and how they're really supposed to help you and not just be a pretty accessory, which they are that as well. So.
Well, and I don't know if I'm reading this right, but do I gather she will soon be one of Evanston, Illinois' most creative people?
No, she's not moving. She's just opening another location.
Oh, okay.
Because she sells a lot of her stuff in the Chicago area, so it's kind of just to help, I guess.
The other person you profile is Nikki Johnson, and
yeah.
Nikki Johnson falls under the category social sculptor.
Yes. Nikki is – listeners might have heard of her because some of her works have been picked up in a national way. Her Eggs Benedict was the portrait of the former Pope Benedict made of condoms, and that's the one that got all sorts of controversy. But she made the sculpture because she wanted to. She was so struck by his statement that condom use increased the spread of HIV. And her next sculpture, which I thought was absolutely breathtaking, was this life-size sculpture of Michelle Obama's arms, and she draped this beautiful scarf on the arms. And the sculptures are life-size, and they all kind of point to the media's fascination with Michelle Obama's body and this focus on her arms and how she's kind of been reduced to her body type. So really powerful statements in these sculptures, and she was telling me about some of her upcoming work. And, I mean, I can tell you that they are going to be just as controversial and impressive, and I can't wait to see them.
So that's Nikki Johnson.
Yeah.
We made reference early in this interview to a gymnastic biker, and I thought we should at least mention Tim Knoll in this.
Yes.
Because especially I gather the assignment was to send Howie Magner out to see if he could learn one of these tricks.
Indeed, that was. Part of putting this feature together was I wanted readers to see that not only are we profiling these creative people, but we can also be creative ourselves in writing about them. So some of these are written in very experiential ways, like this thing about Tim Knoll, where I asked Howie to go and let Tim teach him a trick. And Tim Knoll basically said, absolutely not. It's not safe for Howie, who has not ridden a bike in a while. But he just bought one, so I guess that counts.
But there are some impressive, I gather, impressive videos of Tim Knoll doing these bike tricks.
He does the craziest bike tricks I have ever seen. And they get millions and millions of views. The picture we have is one of him, like, gliding under these semi-trucks. It's – I mean, you have to see it to believe it, kind of.
Well, and you mentioned experiential – you mentioned some unconventional storytelling. We should at least make reference to we should make reference to the one profile that is written in – I don't know that it's iambic pentameter, but certainly in poetry form.
It is a poem, actually, written by Dasha Kelly, who is a local poet. And she wrote about Milo, who is a local rapper. He's this really young guy, kind of making a name for himself. MTV has picked him up, LA Weekly, and he raps about normal young guy things to things like David Foster Wallace's writing. So he I thought, if we're going to write about him, I want someone who is a spoken word poet to write about someone who sounds like he's a spoken word poet.
What do the people you profiled think of being included in this feature? Do they see themselves as the creative Milwaukeeans?
You know, some of them, I think, like the visual artists, you know, see them definitely do. But so far, no one has sent any hate mail or said, no way, I'm not creative. So I think they like it. This issue came out. We had a launch party, and a lot of the subjects came to it. And this was the first time they were reading that story, which for a journalist to see, to in-person witness the, you know, your subject reading about themselves, it's really nerve-wracking. But they were really nice to our faces, so I assume they liked it.
Do you feel like you got some overarching message about creativity as you compiled this?
I hope we expanded the definition for sure, and I think we did. And I think for the people that are doubting all this like hullabaloo about creative this and that and blah, you know, what does it really mean? Let's blow up a car. These are the people who are doing it in a way that works. And yes, some of them are creating art, which we do need, but others are creating things, you know, like plays for elderly people to help them remember better.
Well, Claire Hannon, thanks so much for sharing this story with us. And we hope Lake Effect will be included next year.
Thanks so much, Mitch.
Claire Hannon is an assistant editor at Milwaukee Magazine and edited this month's cover story on 20 of the most creative Milwaukeeans. There is a link to it from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. Another break now, but keep listening. A primer on bird migration through southeast Wisconsin when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.